just put death by rock and roll.
Hey, brothers and sisters, how we doing? What's going on? You got Kyle here in the plot office in beautiful Auburn, New York, and we are once again together for another edition of Coffee and Vinyl. And I'm sitting here, well, I'm not going to lie, I am not sucking down on any kind of brand of coffee right now. It's a lot late in the day for me to be doing coffee. It's kind of in the mood for a cold beverage, so for our caffeine jolt today, we decided to go with a very, very bad for me Red Bull. But, you know, is what it is. It's what I do. I try to stay away from the sugary ones, but, you know, none of them are good for you anyway with all the other bullshit in them. But, I digress. So, today is coffee and Red Bull. And today, to be on the little more on the hyped side and a little less on the tons of information side on this album, we are going to be listening to and jibber jabbering about the Southern Harmony, a musical companion by none other than the Black Crowes. Now, we all know, controversial, little weird, little strange, really great band regardless. And one of the main reasons I decided to do this album, Black Crowes was one of them, was the part of the first real rock and roll concert I ever went to. And that would have been the Black Crowes opening for ZZ Top on the Recycler tour, which they were subsequently kicked off of. I know I've probably talked about this already, because Chris Robinson was not into the idea of corporate sponsorship at the time, because, you know, he's a little shithead contrarian, and you know, he said this himself, so I'm not spilling any tea, but he would come out every time they would open and be like, "This show is not brought to you by Miller Lite," who was the sponsor of that particular tour. "This tour, this show is brought to you by the Black fucking Crowes." You know, and they were riding high on the success of "Shake Your Money Maker" and everything else, and "Jealous Again," and "She Talks to Angels," and all of this. So they were doing all right, but I was lucky enough to see them on that tour before they got kicked off. And gotta say, both bands fucking just killed it. ZZ Top was absolutely amazing. I mean, I really was there to see both bands, but at the time, ZZ Top was who I really wanted to see. Thoroughly enjoyed Black Crowes, even though Curse was fracking hammered by the end of their set, and, you know, whatever, but they were still put on an amazing show. You know, you live and you learn as you get older and do the tours better and things like that, but still put on a great show. And I wanted to highlight this album more than the first one, because in all honesty, all the way around, I think this album is actually better than Shake Your Money Maker. And, you know, I know a lot of people be like, "Fuck you, what are you talking about? It was a great album." And yes, very much. But I think their second and third offerings are two of the best albums in music history, period. From the songwriting to the music and the all-around vibe of the albums, both of them, Southern Harmony Musical Companion and Amorica, both are just tremendous. I mean, there's very few by them that I don't like. They've always been one of my favorite bands, especially, like I said, because I got to see them on their first tour and first major tour, and I actually got to see them again on what was supposed to be their last tour, quite a few years ago when they were on the Brotherly Love Tour with Oasis. That, of course, as we know, over the last 2 years has not been the case. They went out and the brothers Robinson went out and hired themselves some other hired guns and are out touring for the 30th anniversary of Shake Your Money Maker. Hey, you know what? Go get that cash. Do what you got to do. It's kind of what this is a money grab, but, you know, it is what it is. But one of the things that always kind of struck me about them and that I always loved, especially after I heard it from the horse's mouth, is that they were... they described themselves as a part of the song of the universe. And that, you know, that the song of the universe was this thing that was around, a big round thing that they got to grab a hold of and take the ride on for a little while. And they made this amazing catalog of music. And there was just them grabbing at it and saying, give me some of that song of the universe and I'll do with it what I can. And they did. And absolutely beautiful stuff that they've put out there for us to love. I wanted to say consume, but that just sounds wrong. For us to love, for us to have as part of our soundtrack. And they very much have been a part of my soundtrack for a couple of decades now. So, and the first track we're going to throw out at you is obviously first track off the album, which is called Sting Me. And I do have a little bit of info on this one. This was an album that was really, really hard to find any meanings behind songs or things like that, other than it being left up to your own self-interpretation, which to me, that's great, but makes it hard to make a podcast about it, but I'll do my best. So what I did come across, and what does make sense to me, is that this is a song about standing up for the legalization of certain drugs, and getting rid of the idea of the war on drugs, because it's really not succeeded. And, you know, we all know why, because we're a bunch of sad sacks that need some of these things sometimes. And, you know, it's supposed to kind of represent the sting of a needle or whatever. And just kind of one of a couple of songs on this album that is about legalizing it. And not condemning those that use some of these drugs just to get through life. So, without any more further ado, here is track number one, side number one of Southern Harmony Musical Companion from the 1992 release by the Balak Crows. Here is Sting Me. We'll be right back. of the truth, you still...
Regardless of the truth, you still act so aloof. In the face of a judge and jury, you have the nerve to say not guilty. But can you sting me? Yeah, baby. That's right. Sorry about the technical difficulties there between my voice and, well, playing the opening moment or so of the next track, Remedy. My fingers did not do the walking. So, anyway, that is track number one off of Southern Harmony, A Musical Companion. Now, one of the things that I did not know and kind of wish I had back in the day was that this goddamn thing was done in less than a week. This album was recorded in less than a week, and that was kind of a feat you didn't see at the time this was recorded. I mean, this was recorded in late 91, early 92, and shit, man, they literally went in, had come off of the tour with ZZ Top, and I think had done a couple of independent dates here and there, and just went in the studio. They hired Ed. We'll get into the guys here in a second. They hired Ed on keyboards, and I guess they had been there for like 2 or 3 days, and Chris didn't even realize that who Ed was, you know, for the first like 2 or 3 days. He was so kind of wrapped up in his own little world between the drugs and recording and all of his other extracurriculars, and finally came up to Ed and was like, "Oh, hey, man, you're the keyboard player I see, huh? All right, cool. Let's do this, man." And Ed was like, yeah, you know, kind of in his head, fuck, dude, I've been here for like 3 days. What the fuck? But anyway, it all worked out fine, just fine. Ed stayed with the band right up until his untimely death a few years ago. Rest in peace, Ed. Between their iterations as the Black Crowes and then later as Magpie, what is it? Magpie Incident, I believe it's called. Rich Robinson's kind of homage to what the band was prior to them breaking up, because, you know, the brothers Robinson have a thing, and we'll kind of get into a little bit of that later. But let's, before we go any further, I was talking about the amount of time it took to record this. This took less than a week to record. They just went in, and because so many of these songs have been kind of road rehearsed over the tour and so forth, they knew what they were doing. So they went in and they made this. They did this. As a matter of fact, there's 2 or 3 songs on the album. I'm not sure which ones. That was never specified. That were straight up one take live recordings, and boom, done. That was it. I do believe the one that sticks in my mind that sounds like it's that is Bad Luck Blue Eyes, and you'll understand why when I play it. The intro just kind of has that feel of this was done boom once, and that's it. And that's all you needed, because it's my favorite song on the album. And I might actually be nice enough and play most of, if not all of that song. I love that song so much. Let's introduce you guys to the band. First and foremost, of course, we have the brothers Robinson. That would be Chris, who is song lyricist and lead singer. And all-around asshole older brother. Then there is Rich Robinson, who does the majority of the rhythm guitar in the band. He's never been, like, big solo guy. He leaves that up to Mr. Mark Ford, who is the other guitarist in the band at the time. Then we got Johnny Colt on bass. And as I mentioned before, Ed Harris on keys and Hammond organ, and I guess expert roller of the joints. And last but not least, the
guy who's kind of considered the third Robinson brother, and it's unfortunate that the falling out has of the band and of things kind of left this poor guy out in the cold, but that is drummer extraordinaire Mr. Steve Gorman. And so anywho, we're going to jump into track number 2, which I kind of stupidly hit the wrong button and played the intro to there for half a second. Another song that's kind of about freedom and, you know, little libertarian leanings and so forth. And this is Remedy. Beautiful little southern music right there. That's what that is. That is some old school southern rock and roll. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are the biggest Lynyrd Skynyrd fan on the face of the planet. I don't care if you are the biggest Allman Brothers fan on the face of the planet. That song fits right in nice with all of them. And don't have a ton on this one. This is Thorn in My Pride. This is another one that is a personal favorite of mine. It's just a beautiful song, and to me, it just resonates about that time in the morning when you get up with your girl. You guys are in the same bed. There's no alarm clock. There's no responsibilities that day, and just kind of enjoy each other. Even if it's not sexually, you just kind of enjoy waking up next to each other and saying good morning and all of that. And yeah, so I've just always kind of equated it to that. I mean, whether that's really what the song is about, I don't know, but I kind of take this one at face value, and it just makes me feel those kind of feels. They have another song that's kind of similar to that, but that is not on this album, so we will not be talking about that one today. But anyway, as I usually say, I digress. And let's move our way into Thorn in My Pride, track number 3 on Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. Thank you. angels, my devils, thorn in my pride. Ugh. I do kind of want to apologize because I know in the recording of this for you guys, some of the left side speaker stuff isn't sitting in there. So you're probably going to hear a slight, if you've never heard this song before, you're probably going to hear a slightly different mix of it when you do list this, if you decide to go out and listen to it, which kind of what this is all about. So I hope you do it. Unfortunately, the mixing board that I have tends to only do the music side of stuff in kind of a mono sound. So it's there tingy in the background, but there's some guitar on the one channel that we don't have every time. And I'm sure that's probably come out in the mix in some of my other shows, and I don't think I've ever addressed it. Most of the time, I don't always hear it. But I know it's there, and I apologize. So, anyway, that one I kind of heard, and I wanted to bring it up. So, next track I am going to play is my favorite off of this. And this is one of the ones that I think, I don't know for certain, but in my humble opinion and ability to kind of listen and hear things sometimes, this one sounds like one of those tracks that was a live one track, one recording time, one time in the studio and done. It's just got that feel to it, and it's such a wonderful song. It's slow, it's gritty, it's just beautiful. And I know I say that about a lot, and trust me, I know I get repetitive, but these are feelings. These are not, I'm not some sort of trained journalist or anything of that nature. I'm just a lover of what these things I'm sharing with you are all about. So if my descriptions get a little repetitive and dull, I'm sorry, but I love this track, and hopefully if y'all have never heard it, hopefully you will too. So anyway, here is Bad Luck Blue Eyes, or as I like to call it, B&B with a little weed, because that's what they call it.
B&B with a little weed.
There's that problem with that one channel.
Thank you.
not play anymore. I'll be nice. Y'all need to go check that out for yourselves. But trust me on the other side of the speaker there is a beautiful guitar solo that, or not solo, but guitar part that you're kind of missing in the background. So anyway, again, I have to apologize. This is just one of those albums that just seems to be overly mixed in stereo. So, you know, which makes for a great listening experience when it's all there, but is what it is. Up next is Sometimes Salvation. This is track number one on side number two. Dos, because we're playing these on Spotify, but this is how the album actually breaks down, and we do own this on vinyl. Just like we've said we're going to try to do with every one of these albums we do, except for a few exceptions. Except for a few exceptions. Ha ha ha. Anyway, so yeah, next track is Sometimes Salvation. Again, most of these here coming up tracks, I don't have a ton of researchable information on them, but I don't know. I just love this album and I wanted to play it for you and talk about it a little bit with you anyway and try to get y'all to listen, because it's not an album and or a band you really want to sleep on. So here we go. Sometimes Salvation, track number one, side number two. Southern Harmony, Musical Companion by the Black Crowes. Time for accusations or conversations on all them bad things that you do. Say what you will, he might be kind of a douche nozzle, but the man can write a song, and write a song that's takes you somewhere, makes you believe in what he's saying. Because I think he did, you know. I guess the part of the dynamic of the band that was important, at least, especially at the beginning, was the fact that, like, you know, you go out on tour and generally it's the, you know, the guys are out there being hounds for the opposite sex and things of that nature, sexually and whatnot. But surprisingly enough, Chris was not one of those guys. He was more into the hanging out and partying with the friends and the bandmates and doing drugs and everything like that. I guess the
PH, as they say, the Hound, was the pretty boy, Rich, who was the guitarist, and the younger brother. He was the one that was out there going and macking on the ladies, as it were, back in the day. So it's kind of telling in some of the lyrics sometimes that it's more about the real things and going out and finding chicks and doing this and that. It's that there's more realism to the lyrics than, you know, something that maybe Rich would have written, you know, being a love song or, you know, a partying song about going out and meeting the girls and things like that, that you'd expect maybe from a Motley Crue or whatever. And of course these guys are not that band, but you know, when it came to that dynamic, that's kind of how it went. And on top of that, Chris was always a bully, kind of a dick to his brother. And I know it went both ways, but Rich was kind of the one that would slunk off a little bit and take some of the bullshit and deal with it. Partially, I'm assuming, because Chris was the older brother and that whole thing. But anyway, not to want to deter you guys from going out and listening to them, because regardless of certain personal foibles and so forth, they were able to come together. They were toxic twins enough, as it were, to make that power dynamic work. And it worked for 20-some years. So, you know, good on them. Next track we're going to play is Hotel Illness. I don't know. I just love the lyric in this song. It's "This room smells like hotel illness." It just paints a picture. This room just smells. This place is just gross. I don't know. It always clicks in my mind whenever I hear that lyric. And, you know, the rest of the song is just, I don't know, just good. It's good. So let's give it a listen. It's Hotel Illness, Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. Good heavens, where is my medicine? I must have left it outside with my etiquette. And it's hard to talk with a Novocaine tongue. Damn, I forgot those lyrics. damn, because those are a couple of my favorites as well. There's actually a couple that Mr. Robinson has written over the course of their tenure as a rock band that just hit me right in the feels, or hit me right in the right, just in that little gooey spot in my brain that just makes me like gush about them. I love those, that little set of lyrics there. And there's one from their Be By Your Side album that I'm not going to get into now either. I'll get into it one day when I do decide to tickle your earballs with that one, which will probably be at some point soon, because it's another one of my favorites by them, even though it didn't get any love or real airplay for any reason on terrestrial radio. That's okay though. They didn't know what they were missing, but I found it and I was happy. So, yeah. So that was Hotel Illness, and that was track number 2 on side 1. And Black Moon Creepin' is track number 3. Yeah, I this is another one that I don't have a ton of info on or anything like that. And I don't really study the lyrics. I've never been a lyric guy all the time. You know, there's always going to be some that punch through, but it takes me a while, sometimes a long while, to really get into the lyrics of and study them and try to find some sort of deeper meaning in them. But sometimes I just love the groove of an album and it just makes me feel good, regardless of, you know, I might know the lyrics to sing to them, you know, but do they always sink in? No. That's okay. A lot of us are like that. It's cool, man. Some people are lyric people that they just absolutely love the power of the lyric, and that's great too. That's just not me. I know we've said that before, we've discussed that before, but it is what it is. Anyway, here comes a little Black Moon Creepin'. What you got sleeping in your backyard? What you got buried? Yeah, there's Black Moon Creepin'. This next one coming up actually is another one that I'm awfully fond of. It is No Speak, No Slave, and this one has always kind of resonated with me as something, as a song that, you know, if you want to be heard, then speak the truth, but also speak the truth that others can understand it. Don't be vague with your shit. Lay it out there. Put it out there and let the world know. That's always kind of what this one resonated with me kind of as. And I guess maybe it's because of the title, No Speak, No Slave. You know, if you don't do what's right by yourself, you know, for yourself, you're going to end up being a slave to the grind, as it were. And I think we're all guilty of that at certain points. So let's take a little heed and speak up for ourselves and be a little more forthright with how we feel about things. And don't hold it all in. Because if we do, then we're just going to be working on status quo, and that's generally not always a good thing. So, anyway, No Speak, No Slave.
you. You want to be heard. Yes, you do now. Policemen break the law. Politicians rise above. I never once heard a preacher say please. Yeah. Don't speak like a slave, man. Get that shit out there. Air your grievances. Talk about shit. Put it out there that everybody can understand it and be like, yo, listen, something ain't right. Stop living in the status quo. That's one of those unsung revolutionary type songs that we've, I think especially nowadays, have sorely been missing. With the recent passing, and I'm going to kind of date when I'm recording this, but with the recent passing of someone like Mr. David Crosby, you may not agree with everything he's said in his lyrics, or, you know, said just outright, because, you know, as I've said in the past, he was kind of a douche, but again, another guy that didn't live the status quo lifestyle, I mean, and rattled the saber against it, you know, and we need more thinking musicians that can do stuff like that, that can project into the world songs that wake us up a little bit. I think we're a sleeping giant, and it's as a people, and we're getting stomped on by the few. We need to kind of rise up against that a little bit. It's just, I don't know, just my personal feeling on that, but this is one of them songs that just resonates that way for me, that it was a kind of a call to arms. Don't let them bash you down. Don't let the powers that be the ones that grind you down to the point where you don't care anymore. You know, I've found myself in those kind of positions, whether it be in a job place or just in general, and it feels overwhelming. But if we gather together as a group against the real injustices in the world, and I'm not talking about the petty shit that a lot of the talking heads on TV talk about. You know, I'm talking about the big things, the inequalities in life, whether it be because of your place in the world, or the color of your skin, or both, or your religion, or your certain beliefs, or whatever. There's always a group of us. And, you know, if we find what these things that are being piled upon us are unjust, we need to fight back about it. And, you know, it's just something we need to do. But we are, in the music world, we are sorely missing that now. There's very little out there as far as protest music. And some of the greatest music of all time came out of that generation of people that were rallying against what they thought was wrong. And some of the most beautiful music out there. I mean, Crosby was part of that. You know, I mean, he was in the Byrds. Granted, he didn't write "Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man," but, you know, it was about a beautiful time. It was about something that was that somewhere we could be that was more, that was better. You know, Ohio and other things. Just listen to Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and you'll see a lot of those protesty type songs that are rallying against what they felt was wrong in society. And yeah, did it do a lot of good? Some of it did. I mean, you look at a band like Rage Against the Machine, that is kind of the same thing, but this again was 2 decades ago, 3 decades ago now, that this kind of music came to the forefront. It's not there anymore. We don't have it. And yeah, this is another one that's now 31 years old, but still, it meant something at the time and kind of still should. You know, there's a lot of music that's old that we can gravitate towards and you know, teach your children stuff, man. I've done my best to educate my kids on what's good out there as far as music goes. I think I did a pretty good job. So, you know, we can do that as parents and as people.
You know, it may not necessarily mean that there has to be a new band out there that says something that's important. It could be an old one that's already said it and it still means something. Okay, off the tree stump, sorry. A couple more great tunes coming your way. One of them is this next one called My Morning Song. It is track number 5 on side number 2. And, yeah, so a little more to Black Crowes. Make my hate float away. Another great song. There it is. Like I said, man, this is a... Actually, I didn't say this, but this is another one of those albums that does not have a weak link on it. It's kind of unfortunate in the business today that... excuse me. That... we don't have a lot of great beginning to end albums. I mean, I know in the past there's some fantastic albums out there that have a couple of crap songs on them or weaker songs. This again is not one of those. So if you've never listened to it beginning to end, if you've never really given the Black Crowes a second, this is me saying do it, man. You will not be disappointed. Especially if you go back in the catalog, listen to the first 2-3 albums, the first 3 especially. There's a couple of them that they fall off here and there. But on the whole, I say their first 5 records are absolutely stupendous. Again, like I said, the first 3 are, there's not a flaw in any of them. One or two weak ones on the 2 preceding records, which is 3 Snakes and a Charm and By Your Side. By Your Side, honestly, I think it's pretty flawless as well, but that's just me. That all being said, we are now going to play the last track on this album, and funnily enough, this is one of the few that is a cover that they do, and fittingly for who they are, being the at the time the champions of cannabis legalization and education, fits pretty well with the fact that it's a cover of a Bob Marley song, and it's called Time Will Tell. This is the Black Crowes version of Bob Marley.
Yeah.
think you're in heaven, but you're just living in hell.
So, I've always been a large fan of Bob Marley and the Wailers and just Bob Marley. So I really thought it was kind of funny, and I don't know how much at the time the boys in the band really understood what they were singing. But the opening lyric is, Ja will never give the power to the bald head. And one of the tenets that I am aware of in Rastafari is that it's kind of, there is a huge lack of trust of the white man, which, you know, historically we know is a thing and really should be a thing. But it was a big deal. I mean, there's quite a few songs that reference the bald head or the crazy bald head or whatever in Bob's repertoire. And, that is the white man. And it's basically, you know, it has nothing to do with really, technically, it's a reference to the idea that white men go bald, black dudes generally don't too terribly, especially, you know, Rastafarians with the dreadlocks and everything else. They don't go bald per se. The white dudes do, and it's, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of time that crown on the top of our bean, you know, me being a bald guy myself, I understand it. So I don't know how much they understood it at the time of them recording it, but it's a great recording of the song. I believe this, in my own opinion, I believe this is one of those tracks on the album that was also the first one and done. You know, we recorded this one time live and just, we loved it when it was all done, didn't go back in and do any overdubs or anything like that. It seems too raw. Excuse me, but, you know, anyway, I thought it was a great way to end an album that was kind of has its roots in some tenets of revolution and fighting for your freedoms and not allowing yourself to be stomped on, which that song has a lot to do with. You know, I mean, it's, you know, one of Bob's call to arms to not let the white man take away your freedom. Which, unfortunately, those of us with less melanin in our skin are apt to do from time to time with those that look different than us. And it's kind of sad. So, yeah. Anyway. So there it is, brothers and sisters. Yet another drop in the bucket of the many musical things I want to share with you guys, and I hope you enjoyed the journey. Once again, as I've said at the closing of many of these shows, I love you all. I thank you all for giving me, you know, the hour and a half, whatever it takes for you guys to listen to this. And, you know, that you continue to, and it just makes me feel good that you guys want to bring me into your brains for a little while, and maybe I've reached a few of you and you're going out and listening to something you haven't before or haven't in a long time, and that gives me the good feels inside. And so without too much further ado, brothers and sisters, I think we're going to go ahead and cue up our sign off tune for the day. Well, for always, because this is just one of my favorite tunes by these guys. And I just love the fact that I can sign off with this one on the regular. Here's a little Emperor Penguin by the Tragically Hip. As always, love you. Peace out, brothers and sisters.
Like the tone of your trumpet, come on and spill some paint. It's Let's raise a glass of milk to the end of another day, and to the kiss that's still intangible, and the kids are all right, just unmanageable. They won't do a damn thing, you say. Voices all detached on a radio wave breeze. We'll have another caller with a bachelor degree. Talking alien invasion is the only chance for unity. Sorry to interrupt your caller, but it's a physical impossible.